Welcome to The Human Side of Research, conversations to inspire and guide your academic career. In today's episode, we bring you a panel discussion from a recent learning lunch event at Wageningen University and Research, featuring Professor Geert Smant, Denise Madegans, Dr. Melina Simonowitz-Klippel, Dr. Tjerk Sminia, and Yip Lauwers and Simon Dow from DownSetUp. The conversation centers around the lecturer path within the new academic career framework. My name is Geza and I'm your host. Is the recognition of lecturers in academia long overdue? In this episode, we discuss the new academic framework at Wageningen University and Research as a culture change that values teaching expertise and opens flexible career paths for academics. How much does your career depend on your chairholder, and how much research can you do as a lecturer? We also introduce the Lecturer Development Program, offering space for lecturers to tackle their challenges and define their added value. I hope you find this conversation insightful.
Hello, everyone. I am definitely not used to speaking through a microphone, so learn with me. I'm used to just speaking up. But this is the Speaking's Corner, so I'm just going to start speaking to you. And very welcome to the second edition of our Learning Lunch. This is about lecturers today. Are there some lecturers here? Maybe good to know. Very welcome. Yes. So last Friday, during our DS, marked the start of the academic career framework. And one of the paths in academic career framework is the lecturer path. And that's what we're here to talk about today. But the learning lunches are provided by L&D. And for those of you who don't know what learning and development is, it's basically a team, 10 people with great expertise in helping you to employ your full potential. So to help you develop in your career, in your personal life, within where, or maybe outside. More about that later, because our colleagues are all here. So after this, you can also talk about your own questions with us. But I'm going to stop my own speaking now, because I really want to give the floor to the team that actually helped learning and development to create a development program for lecturers that we are officially launching today, I think. I'm going to start talking, start introducing our friends from DownSetUp, who will be introducing this very interesting panel here as well. So I'd like to give the floor to you, Simon.
Yeah, thanks, Katelijne. And thanks all of you for being here. Thanks, Katelijne, specifically to address this. So to really commit this learning lunch to lecturers and the development of lecturers and the development tracks of lecturers. So thanks for doing that, Katelijne. As a brief check, I saw some hands being raised. Who identifies primarily as a lecturer? Yes, quite a bit also in the panel, obviously. Who says, no, I identified more as being a researcher and I lecture, do educational things occasionally or often? Quite a bit. Who says I identify as being, let's say, support staff, professional services? Hi, welcome. Who didn't raise their hand yet? And what are you doing here? No. No, I've seen everyone. So quite a mix, I see. Yeah, thanks. To be clear, I'm Simon Dow from DownSetUp, as Katelijne said. And from DownSetUp, we've been engaged in what we call the human side of research and education for the past 15 years. So we train and coach researchers, lecturers, support staff who work in that, let's say, industry. Indeed, we're requested to also craft a program for lecturers, the Lecturer Development Program, just like we've made such a program for what was previously called a tenure tracker. The name has changed, but we started that 3 years ago at the VIR as well. So we see a lot of work people every year, I would say. So thanks for that. In our past years, I would say we've seen a quite vital movement concerning the position of lecturers. We just started a conversation spontaneously already about this, that we think, there are a lot of more opportunities, recognition, attention for lecturers in Dutch universities. We've personally experienced this in Leiden, where we work, UvA in Amsterdam, RSM, many different kinds of places. But if I can be really frank with you, we also see there's a long way to go still in some of these places. And by that I mean establishing, genuinely establishing the attention to further develop lecturers and recognize lecturers, and establishing policy, I would say it's only a beginning, right? It's a start. Really adopting a practice where you do that from day to day in a community, like for instance Ver, we've noticed is something different, is a next step, at least in what we've seen in other universities. And I don't know how that's working out here at Ver, but this is what I can share from the other universities we've been in. And I really like, hope to learn about what's happening at the Ver, what's important to you, what's going well, what questions you have as lecturer, support staff, or someone who does a lot of research but also lecturing. I saw your hand earlier. So feel free to engage. So of course there's a brilliant panel. I will introduce them shortly, but feel free to ask questions. You can also interrupt me, tell me to shut up, that you have a question, share your experience, feel free to do so. I will invite you explicitly, but also feel free to do so spontaneously. Okay? And yes, enjoy your lunch. Yeah. It's a learning lunch, so feel free to grab food, drinks, whatever it is. One check, do you all have to run at 1 o'clock? I'm not holding you hostage. You can also leave if you say, but I'm just checking because then we'll end a little bit earlier or we go a little bit beyond 1 o'clock to 1:15 or 1:30. Let's just see how it goes. Just for, let's say, the festive part of today, because we're launching a program and we're happy that you're here, can we give a warm applause to panel number one, Geert Smant. Professor Geert Smant, who told me I can call him Geert, because he's not attached to his title, at least not in this setting. So thanks for that. He is a professor for nematology. I had to ask what that is, and Cherk actually answered for him, it has something to do with worms.
Which is okay for me.
Which is okay for Geert, I heard. But Geert was involved for quite a bit of time. I think you mentioned 2020, 2021 to me concerning the academic career framework. As a check, do you all know what is meant by the term academic career framework? Can I see hands? I thought so. Okay, so we don't have to introduce it. But Geert is also part of the committee that actually decides, advises on the promotion of lecturers. So you have ample experience with these questions. First question to you, if I may, as an introduction. Can you mention anything that you feel has changed concerning the development of lecturers? Maybe an example. By the way, everything is recorded. That's not to threaten you. It's a positive note. Just because there's a podcast also being made, you can all check it out, but also for people who couldn't be present, that they can follow this. So everything you say is recorded. No. Feel free to share whatever you want. Sorry.
So the thing that is what I find special to realize is that I see, teach, or lecturers to do things that I could never do as a professor or associate assistant professor. So I think there is a what I then call a sort of unique area of expertise for lecturers. And whenever I teach together with someone in a course, I see lecturers doing things that I really couldn't do. Mm. And I think that's for me, also a source of inspiration to support the development of people in lecturer positions.
Yeah, cool, thanks. Because does anything in particular pop up, Geert? Like what's a typical thing that you see people do that you believe, that's not something I could have done?
Yeah. I teach together with
Yet.
Here. Sorry, Yet.
Who is very happy that you point to her.
Yet is able to do a workshop with students, which to me looked like complete chaos and would make me panic. And she remains calm and completely in control, and it works out perfectly well.
This was a compliment.
It is, because actually the chaos is part of the learning experience. Mm-hmm. Whereas to me, chaos would be something which is beyond my control and I'd rather avoid, right? So that's just one example. We did the course in the previous periods. I said, this is something I could never do, and this is typically something that is within the realm of a lecturer, perhaps.
So thanks.
Yeah?
Thanks, Budo. I think I've also seen a colleague in the group who like immediately yes, chaos, and yes, interesting, and it works. So thanks for sharing the example. And may I also have your warm applause for Melina Simonovic-Klippel, who was very kind to me, saying that she appreciated me pronouncing her name. What I didn't share with her is that Simonovic is actually how my mother called me when I was four, because I'm called Simon. So thanks for bringing those memories back.
You didn't tell me that.
You are a lecturer who also spends part of your time, a considerable part of your time on research, have been doing so for quite a long time, so combining lecturing education with research position. And you're also an education coordinator for consumption and health lifestyles. Anyone else from that group, consumption and health lifestyles? You are alone. No, you are together with your colleagues. May I ask you what, in combining research and education in the way that you're combining it, what is the biggest, let's say, joy of it and the biggest challenge of having a position that combines them both?
Yeah. I would probably say the biggest joy is the fact that I can actually do it. I moved to Europe, to the Netherlands, about 3.5 years ago from the USA, and I was in a similar lecturer, education, career path type position, and I was not able to get any hours to incorporate research into my position. So I still was doing some, but I was really doing it on my own time. Whereas coming here, I was able to negotiate I think it was a 70-30 at the start or 80-20 breakdown in terms of how my hours are used. So I was able to work some research, including content-focused research and pedagogical research into my time.
Cool. And to be clear, Melina, that would be like the 70% education, 30% research division.
Clear.
Yeah. Did you all know that those things apparently are possible, the 70-30, for instance? Yeah? Some of you said, because we had a talk, like, I don't know, back in the day, but not a lot of people in that time were aware that those kind of combinations in your function were possible, but glad that you were able to.
Yeah, yeah.
And your biggest challenge in combining those?
My biggest challenge in combining them, I think it's an overall challenge, but when you have sort of different arms to your work, it would be the overburdening and lack of time. So I've given up trying to guesstimate how many FTEs I actually work, because it sort of fluctuates up and down a little bit, but it's just too high, honestly. So it's like having two part-time jobs in one. It always means you're working more than you need to. Yeah. Should be.
I can imagine. Thank you. But this is actually also an interesting moment for Don't Be Afraid engagement from the audience. Some of you might have seen cards that are hidden under your pillow. That card that you have is actually a download link for the training, the educational part for lecturers, but underneath your pillow are smaller cards. And this is a way to talk with everyone here, even though we only have an hour. So if you hear something, and I will prompt you a couple of times, I won't overdo it, I promise. If you hear something, then our question is, could you show the card in response to what you've heard? So it can be, I understand. I understand means I might not have the same experience or question or story, but I understand where you're coming from. I know what this is. The I relate card goes a bit further. It means I don't only understand, I relate to this. I have the same challenge or the same joy or the same experience or the same question. So yes, I relate to you. Maybe not 100%, but to a large degree. Three is tell me more. It means I don't understand yet, or I really want to ask something about this because it triggers me in a certain way. I understand. We have surprised. Huh? You don't have to say, huh? You can just show the card. That is, I didn't know that was happening. Or it surprises me that a professor or a lecturer says something like this. So surprise. And thank you. Means it almost sounds concerned. Thank you. No, thank you really means you appreciate this being shared. You think it's important to share. Lastly, you can cheat. Cheating means you can show two cards, even though it's against the rules. Yeah? Clear? Then my question is, you can just remain seated, is if you hear Melina say, well, one of the biggest challenges for you, it was specifically in the combination, but in general, is the overload. I don't know anymore how many FTEs I'm actually working. can I ask you to show your card? Like, do you relate? Do you understand? Do you want to ask something? Tell me more. I see. I will definitely get back to you. Thank yous. I understand. I see some relates. I actually see quite some relates. I think a third of you relate. And I interpret that as you are also juggling with the amount of requests, responsibilities, and your time. May I ask you, the tell me more card, is there anything you'd like to hear more about?
Just was wondering, because you said and while you're working in the US, you were working like two jobs, and you didn't get the space for the research, so you did it in your own time. Mm-hmm. But now, still, when you're working here, you're working also more than 40 hours, so what changed? So officially, you get the hours, but you're still...
Did it improve since the US?
I'll be honest. I feel more stressed and overburdened here. More. More stressed and overburdened here than in the US.
So it didn't improve from the US. It actually is more of a challenge.
Yeah.
May I ask what makes it more of a challenge here?
It's a good question. I'm on the spot, so I'm not sure if my response is exactly where it would be if I'd had a little bit more time to consider it. So, for example, with the promotions in the US, I was only officially asked to do education tasks were the only things I was assessed on. And if I wanted to do some pedagogical research, for example, and I had the time, I could do it. So I had one job there, and it was education. Mm-hmm. In the US, they don't count hours, so you work to do your job. So, you know, that's how it works. Here, we focus a lot on the hours because part of the expectation on me is education and part is research. So I have to prove myself in both of those areas and prove myself to a fairly high level, I feel. And when I am, then I also cognitively know that my hours are quite above what they should be. So there's probably more to it than that, but that's at least part of it.
Thanks a lot. And it sounds like a challenge indeed, and also like you formulated it very well, I think. So thanks for that. And I can also imagine that the combination of the norm on hours does something. And if I understand you correctly, the being assessed in two things, instead of perhaps doing two things, but being assessed on one, like your experience in the US was. Yeah, thanks a lot for sharing this. We'll get to that, I think, later on as well. May I ask your warm applause for Tjerk Sminia, over there. And Dr. Tjerk Sminia is educational coordinator in, I think, organic chemistry it is, lecturer, of course. Can you share a bit of your, let's say, recent experience? What puzzles you? What intrigues you? What are you struggling with or trying to develop as a lecturer? Pick one of these.
Okay, well, I'm definitely puzzled or struggling with maybe the digital transformation. Back in the days when I was studying, I did that from a study book, and we still have a study book in my courses, but now all the students have it digitally. So organic chemistry is a lot about drawing molecules, reaction mechanisms. It can be done on paper, but also digitally. And I'm still struggling finding what works best and how to provide also the course materials in my courses.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks a lot. May I ask... Whom of you don't have to answer? Whom of you is more senior than 35 years? Because, don't answer. You might have heard, Tjerk, that we had a brief introduction just now before the event started, and we also discovered, both of us in education, but perhaps also in research, that nowadays, when you're 35, or in my case, 40, you can talk about back in my day, and that being an ancient age where we didn't have all these things like digital. So it's a bit of a joke, but it's also serious in terms of it's quite soon in your career that you're confronted with major changes that require adaptations as a lecturer. So thanks a lot for for sharing that. I didn't divulge how old you are, I hope, in this short anecdote. May I ask you to also welcome my dear colleague, Jip Lauwers. And like I said, from Bounce and Up, we've been training and coaching a lot of researchers, lecturers, et cetera, et cetera, also here at VUR. Jip is a psychologist and has been involved for the past 3 years, I think, in the tenure track development program that's now a research track. Question to you, Jip, is what is typical in training, coaching, or working in a research and education context? What is different than, for instance, from a government or industry?
Yeah, that's, I think, also a bit relatable to the experience that you just shared. What I personally really notice is that also in the programs that we organize, that people come with so much dedication and so much intrinsic motivation. But I also see the shadow side, that a lot of people really like identify with their work. They kind of become their work, and there is a lack of kind of a boundary between work and other parts of themselves. So it's something I really admire in people, but also something that I see, in combination with the uncertainty in academia and the unpredictability of research, it can also be really hard to identify with things that are unpredictable, that are uncertain. So that's something that is really outstanding for me when it comes to working in academia and research contexts. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. If we can now get into the academic career framework that all of you raised their hands of knowing a bit about that. If I can ask a little bit of a provocative question, and that would be, it comes from the recognition and rewards, obviously. And my question first to you, and perhaps whoever wants to respond, is was that recognition long due? So in other words, do you feel like lecturers, those in lecturer kind of positions, have been taken for granted for too long? I know this is very suggestive. Feel free to get into a debate, right, on my formulation. What do you think? I'm looking at Geert a little bit, because you've been involved for a longer time in this topic, obviously. What do you think?
For granted, I wouldn't say. I think what may have been lacking is recognition for the added value and the unique area of expertise in education, what I've started with. I think recognizing that it is really different to be a very, well, a good educator is it requires a professional mindset. And I think recognizing how important that is for the university, I think that's that's really long due. And I think that with the academic framework, this recognition will happen. I'm quite sure of, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. May I very briefly ask you for those cards? When they get annoying, tell me. I will stop. But can you respond indeed to Geert, because I'm very curious to what he said. Yeah, it's long due, perhaps not recognized, but specifically recognizing not only the expertise, but also the importance of lecturers for this academic environment. That's long due. It should have been earlier to really connect to where people are. Who says, I relate, surprised. Does Geert think it's long due? Surprises me. Yeah, can I see a lot of relatedness? Yes, understands. Yes, so again, quite mixed, I would say. I think I saw a tell me more, right?
Yeah.
I'll come to you to record you for the podcast. No, just ask your question.
Well, I wonder, do you have any idea how come?
Yeah, why did it took so much time?
What was the driver of change? I think one of the drivers of change was that initially the staff members in tenure track were overburdened, and therefore we had a really steep increase in the number of lecturer positions at the university. I think it was in 5 years it increased from 70 to 300. And I think the initial burden that was expressed by tenure trackers was an important driver to that. And on top of that, there were additional funding from the university to increase the quality of education that was also mostly allocated to lecturer positions. So that is, why is then the lack of recognition? I think it's one And that's what I repeat, is that, and that's also the reason behind the lecture career path is not, so think in terms of development and as a lecturer, and also what is my unique area of expertise in education. So think beyond the classroom. And I think that's the philosophy behind the education career path initially, and also the education career career framework, is that we hope that lectures will reflect more on what is my added value and how can I expand my sphere of impact so that others will recognize it. And I think that the lectures that are really recognized are doing something special that goes beyond the classroom. And I think that helps. So do you have a unique profile? And what does it look like? And what do you do for that? And can others see it? And so it goes both ways. I think it's part from how lecturers see themselves performing in university and vice versa, how the university is looking at lecturers, not as a group that is supposed to relieve the pressure on others by taking over the pressure. That's, I think, a perspective that doesn't work sustainably, and vice versa also from the lecturer position itself to see yourself as something I need to have an added value that goes beyond the classroom, yeah. Ideally.
Thanks a lot for that, Geert, and also for mentioning that framing, right, in the latter part of your answer, like, are lecturers the ones to relieve another group? Is that the role that you have, or do you have your own specific expertise that might be equal or just as important as the other group? I see many people I want to go to, but first I should check with Melina or you, Tjerk. Do you relate to, in your career track, to, it was about time? Or do you feel like, no, pretty timely. We're happy that it's here now. And I wasn't waiting for anything. Can I ask you to respond?
Yeah, I'm happy to respond. And maybe a little bit more of a provocative response to this question here as well. To me, it's largely, it's about time. And I'm really pleased to hear Geert's response and to start to be feeling that there is more and more recognition that teachers and an educational career path is a valued role, that we have particular expertise that perhaps some of our colleagues don't have, and that's needed in this context and in this culture. It has not always been that way from my experience. And the reason, I think, perhaps in part, is if we look back and think about how academic roles were developed many years ago and the focus that we've had on research for a very long time, this varies across institutions and across settings, but I've worked in institutions where education has brought in more funding, such as Wageningen. It's a key point of funding for our chair groups. And I've also worked in institutions where the key funding source was research. And so where the money is attached to the research also, and where we have professional roles, tenure track positions that were largely research focused, and professors' education role was seen to be sharing that expertise that they developed through their research with students, then that research in comparison to education starts to get more professional value attached to it, and that becomes embedded in an institution. And because of that, the education part is perhaps a secondary. We have I think perhaps we can all maybe identify some colleagues who say, I'm on a tenure track, but I really want to do research, and I teach because I have to teach. I don't really want to teach, but I have to do it, so I'll do some of it. And then that's a little bit of a slippery slope when we have things like the quality agreements that come in to take the burden away from tenure trackers to give the education tasks to others, because then that perhaps becomes seen as we're doing the task that are secondary or that our colleagues don't want to be doing. So that perhaps sets something in the mind of our colleagues. So I'm really pleased that we're getting this transition, that lecturers are becoming more valued and the role is becoming more valued. And I think the ACF is and will be a big part of what I hope is a culture change in our institutions.
Thanks. Thanks a lot for that, and also adding the funding part, right, to this discussion. Tooth, if you want to respond a bit later, be welcome. There's one person raising. Okay. Thank you for not commenting. You were holding a surprise card for a while. Was that a coincidence?
No.
Ah, may I ask, what was your surprise? I think it was to Geert or Melina.
It was to Geert. I'd been at the university for quite a while as a lecturer. I come from the day and age when they had universitaire docenten, where it was a 50-50 task of research and education. And now the tenure track just has to have one course and they have to be course coordinator in that one, where we see that they actually don't want to do the course coordination because that takes a lot of time. And they're surprised by the amount of time it takes. But there were universitaire docenten, which doesn't fit in any of the frameworks we now have because it's a 50-50 combination that we don't have currently. But I really liked the combination of research and education because you could bring that research into your education. Whereas now as a lecturer, there is no teeny tiny part of research anymore that you can bring into your education, and that part is missing for me.
Okay.
So it's weird to split it up in some way that was not there before.
Thank you. So question is, to all of you, but also to the panel, aren't we missing something, perhaps, in crafting a lecturer role focusing on education? Well, there has been a past and a present, you as well, Melina, that actually combined both of them with their challenges that brings. Any of you, what do you think? Geert? Tjerk?
I can respond specifically to a question, if I may.
Then yes, yeah. Please do.
So if you look at the academic career framework, it has sort of model profiles, but these are flexible. So the time that you spend on education, even as a lecturer, can be less than, let's say, 70% if you agree with your supervisor. That's fine. And so the strict boundaries between people and professor career path, research career path, and lecture career path, they are not so strict. So there can be, if you opt for that, more room for research or academic services or societal impact.
Yeah, so if I understand you correctly, Geert, please do correct me, that the lecturer path doesn't predefine the percentages, right? Like Melina said.
It has sort of the average, but the average doesn't exist. The thing that exists is the variation, right?
Yes.
And this can vary to a larger percentage of time to education, but also much less.
Yes.
And that's the whole point of the academic career framework, to build in flexibility based on local needs. You can choose to have research as a lecturer.
Yes.
If you the default division in time is 70% at least on education, and then the rest can be filled by academic services, research, or societal impact. And these are options.
Yes.
This can be more or less, and in the way you fill that extra time beyond being an educator is depending on you, on your chair group, or
yes,
the place where you're. Sorry?
Oh yeah. So is it correct? So Geert is responding like the academic career framework is not that set in stone. That there's just one way. You can negotiate percentages for yourself with your group, etc., etc. And the question is it optional for lecturers to do research to a certain percentage? Well, the research track, in your experience, prescribes also lecturing being part of it. Is that
the research track?
You know?
Not the professor track demands activities both in education and research.
Yes, so and the research track also doesn't.
The research track mainly focuses on research, but yes, could also be supplemented with task in education.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. I want to go to another specific part, and that is, you've just heard a little bit as well, there's apparently quite some room to shape things to your own ambition, need in coordination with your group, both in terms of percentages, division, research, teaching, but also in terms of, and you started talking about it, what your specific added value is. And I was very much wondering, how do you show what your specific added value as someone, was that your question?
No, it's very related, so I'm very happy with your
question. Okay, good, we're teaming up.
Yeah.
My question is to you, but also to you, maybe you or you, Jack, How do you find your specific added value as a lecturer? Isn't that just, I'm giving lectures and a whole lot of it, aren't you happy? So how do you find your specific added value? May I ask you, did you find your specific added, I'm putting you on the spot, yeah, sorry for that. But did you find your specific added value? Do you have colleagues that are super clear that he, she, or them have a very specific added value and are able to communicate that and get acknowledged for it?
I mean, my answer is quite broad. It's something that I've figured out over the years as a working professional of what I like doing, what I'm good at doing, what is needed, what can I contribute, and so on. So it's not something, and I see this as something that my junior lecturing colleagues perhaps not at this stage in their careers because they're just starting out, they're new. So they're mainly doing the teaching, lectures, you know, grading papers and so on. And through active mentorship and guidance from more senior lecturers, we're helping them figure out what their particular pathway could be within the scope of what the career pathway offers them. And so, you know, I figured out over the years, I like education governance. Yeah. I like sort of being involved in policy change.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask indeed. And I know that your answer might not be representative for others, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what did you discover over time?
Mm-hmm.
You're already talking a bit of governance in education.
Mm-hmm.
How does that look like? Your development as a lecturer,
mm-hmm.
your added value. What do you do then in governance?
In terms of governance, so I'm an external member on the Ver Council. So I am involved when policy changes are coming through that relate to education in particular. I work on one of the subcommittees. I get asked to contribute to dossiers, and we look at the policy change and we ask questions, and we sort of at the end of the day, certain dossiers we get sort of approval rights where we basically say to the executive board, yeah, we're okay with the direction in which this is going, or sometimes we offer some pushback. So that's the main governance work that I do at the moment. But then another thing I did in my career is I like doing research. I decided in the US context, the funding hit rates for health-related research were extremely low. The NIH hit rate was like 4 or 5% at some point. And I said, I don't want to spend 10 years writing proposals, getting nowhere. I'm going to focus on teaching. I like working with students. And I'm going to do some educational research. So I got involved in scholarship of teaching and learning research. So that's how I sort of shifted my research focus and applied it to an educational career path.
Thanks a lot. Yep. And before we jump to Cherk, can you take a little bit in, what does it require from you or your development
mm-hmm.
to, one, get into these things, discover mm-hmm. that that's the path you want to take, and to mm-hmm. actually get in these things,
mm-hmm.
and two, referring to what Geert said earlier, to get acknowledged for it. Like, yes, we see those things as important things, and we support you in whatever way we can.
I think some of the personal attributes required are, you know, general to many positions, professional positions in academia. So you have to have motivation and drive, and you have to have the skills to work with your senior colleagues to negotiate access to opportunities. You need to have the skills to push back sometimes when you feel like something isn't going the right direction and that you think it should be going differently. What was the second part of your question, Simon?
Yeah, I think you already answered it in part, but that was not only to get into these things, but also to be able to get acknowledged for it.
I'll be honest, I think some parts of my work are acknowledged, some parts are perhaps less acknowledged, but I'm okay, or I've made my okay with that, or I made my peace with that. That I see that perhaps the acknowledgement comes in different ways, such as, for example, teaching courses in different ways. So I don't typically go in and do the standard didactic lectures. I do very much the active learning, critical reflection type work with my students. And through their learning and growth, that's rewarding. And while I may not get perhaps some recognition from colleagues or the system for some of that work, I get it through knowing the impact that it's had on the students.
Yes. And apparently being able, getting the space to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Cherk, to which degree is sort of how you shape your added value and get recognized for it or not the same or different? What do you say?
Yeah, I think I can definitely relate to you. While teaching, you find all kind of interesting things, like, oh, how is this organized, for example, your funding of education, and then if you're passionate about that, then you dive into that, and then whenever opportunity arises, yeah, you step forward, and that's how you make your career as a lecturer. On the other side, I think, not everyone in your group can focus on the financial part of education, so you have to find your way between your colleagues and in your team. Also, all the different activities outside of your chair group.
Your chair should agree to that.
I, by the way, still think it's interesting. No one is manually stopping the.
Yeah, so giving education that pace and all the other outreach activities, they don't really pay your chair group. So that's a struggle I have with my chairholder, that he should agree that I do all these extra activities, because when I do that, I cannot teach. So maybe a new junior lecturer need to be appointed to take over those teaching jobs.
Hmm. In both of your accounts, there was, and not perhaps the biggest portion, but there were financial aspects as well. Like if what I do as an activity brings in funding or financial stuff, it's perhaps, correct me if I'm wrong, easier to get acknowledged for the value of it than not. Question is, how do you get acknowledged for things that don't literally provide a financial value? What are arguments you use or values that you mention?
I might not answer your question directly.
Then...
No, I just want to reinforce the point that Jack is making, because right now, also when you look around, right, my chairholder's here. So I don't know. But I feel really privileged. Geert's my chairholder. And I think that is not always the standard situation. That is not what I generally hear from other teachers. So when I talk about my situation, there is this kind of, I think Geert and just also all the other people in my chair group, actually, we talk about education in a way that we also feel like it's our value as a chair group, and we feel responsible in that sense. But we also talk about the financial side of it. And so I feel like I'm also being mentored to take opportunities to, for instance, write a grant, right, myself, an education grant, which is also something you have to figure out completely by yourself at this university. And I really see a lot of opportunities to give support to lecturers. But at the same time, I'm questioning, do they get, you know, can they take the time for it if their chairholder doesn't agree? And this is really what worries me. So I'm very happy about the ACF starting, because I think it will trigger that discussion. And if the chairholders aren't coming here, I'm coming to them, because I'm going to do my senior UTQ on this. So, because we are offering these wonderful opportunities. I'm in a teacher intervision group. All of this I can just do because Geert trusts me, and he also feels like it will repay in terms of innovation, in staying with the time. So I think I'm very passionate about this, as you can hear. And I will make work of it. So I see it as a wonderful start, but Jack is right. This is very shareholder dependent.
Thank you, thank you. And just for those listening in, perhaps online and whatever, when you tell you're going for them, you mean to have a good conversation, right? Just to have a good conversation and learn together on how to do this. Just you never know, right, in 2025, how things come across. So thanks for that comment. May I see very briefly the cards I related to, et cetera, for the idea it is actually, even though there's ACF, it might be quite shareholder dependent. Where do you get the acknowledgement and in which form? Like you also said, there are different forms to get acknowledgement, right? Who says, yeah, that might be quite dependent. You're not incriminating your shareholder. You're being asked, yeah, understand, quite a bit of relates, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, thank you. Before we go more into that, may I ask Yip, because you've heard quite a bit, I think, in to develop as a lecturer, there's something in the contact with seniors. So you're talking about shareholders, but bear in mind the seniors, how you work with your seniors is quite important. You've heard Jack say something about how your group actually behaves concerning education. Your examples are about that as well. You've also heard something of pushing back that it's important to sometimes push back is something that was mentioned. Question to you, Yip. We are currently creating the lecturer development program. Are these the kind of things you've heard back in our conversations with lecturers? Or are there other topics that actually came up during the first conversations we had about this?
I think definitely these topics appeared in our conversations, but also other topics which were more related to also how to create psychological safety in the classroom and how to deal with more diversity inclusivity issues. But also really indeed kind of negotiating and setting boundaries in your career advancement, how to discover what is the part that you really want to excel at, and then how to also create that frame around your career. That's what we really heard often in conversations. But for all of you to know, we co-steer the program with the lecturers that will be part of the program. So we will also listen to them and hear what's on their mind. Yeah.
Thanks. Maybe just briefly before you go into downloading brochures and stuff, can you take the group a little bit through what the program looks like?
Yeah, of course. Definitely. Yeah, we are really happy actually that we have the opportunity here with lecturers to create a program designed at supporting you advancing in your lecturer career path, which means we will actually have 5 half days, the opportunity to work on 5 kind of separate challenges, topics that you encounter in your career. And before that starts, we have an intake conversation where we, together with the lecturers that will be part of the sessions, take a look at what are actual challenges currently in your career, what holds you back, where do you feel uncertainty. We will mix those. Of course, we will put all those answers together and we will see, hey, these are the core topics that people actually feel like if I would have more skills in that area, if I would have more certainty, if I would be able to look at things differently, we can actually advance. I can feel more solid in my teaching lecturer position. Those topics will be then divided into 5 different sessions. Sessions will be held in a really nice place located in the forest where we also want to actually get you away from the university, to be able to also zoom out, having the opportunity to reflect, the opportunity, the time to actually see what is the next step that I'm wanting to make in what way. And we really also incorporate learning in different ways. So also intervision, also pairing up with a buddy, exercises that we actually bring to your everyday work life. So we're really...
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. And I think you also touch upon something that I don't want to be too sentimental, but touch me a little bit. The sentence that you actually had, it was a brief sentence that you have to find everything out by yourself.
Yeah.
Don't know if you've heard it. It is something we've heard often in lecturers, and I'm not generalizing over all of you, but that many lecturers are trying to find their own path. Well, perhaps there are others doing the same that can actually really help you to shape what's yours. So thanks for saying that, and sorry to hear that you had to sort of do things by yourself, although Geert is amazing. You had to...
At a university level, right?
Yes, I hear you.
It's just weird that you don't get... It's just weird that, for instance, the funding landscape of education innovation, you have to talk about it in our intervision group, when we were like, we're compiling together, but this should do something.
Yeah.
Right, these kind of...
Yeah, and maybe in addition to that, we also really noticed in the program that we already have for research trackers that it also really helps to focus on what kind of best practices are there in different areas. How can we all learn from that and benefit from that? But also the difficult practices, because we encounter those as well. And how can we learn from those? So that will also be included.
I think we even had, not in my group, I think it was in your group, someone who during the program skipped from tenure track to lecturer track.
Yeah, that's true.
How did that happen? I don't remember.
Yeah, we were actually, part of the program was that we were working with kind of a career line. Where do you come from? Where are you now? Where are you moving towards? And it's really nice. In the beginning, I was kind of surprised that people are really like, they're taking glasses, they're taking everything from the room to actually envision their future and build their line. And there was a lady who was part of the group who actually looked at her past and her position where she was now heading at and saying, okay, when I actually let loose off maybe the checklist that I have to kind of accomplish, then where my main drive or my main focus comes from is actually the engagement with students, what I can bring there. And this exercise helps her realizing that her potential in the future is yeah, is in teaching, is in lecturing. That was really nice to see that switch.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. And speaking of pushing back, when we provided lecturers of many different universities the one thing that they needed to be developed on, who can guess? The one thing that lecturers indicate, this is what I want to learn better. What was the top scoring thing? Anyone?
Say no.
It's the one thing. And consistent, not to mention names, but Leiden, Amsterdam, it's the we need to say no, push back and certain things. And either you are quite rebellious or quite over. Yes. 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 And I respect that, right? That's something. And you've heard it as well, right? That it's very important to be able to do that in a way that, that fits you and your group. Reflecting back to the ACF part, because you, but also many others in the panel, indicated now the framework is there, that might do something. May I ask you, what kind of, perhaps Geert, what kind of opportunity do you see now that that academic career framework here at WIR, I think since September last year it officially launched? No? You?
Last week.
Last week?
Friday.
Ah. It's good. It is long due. No. What kind of hope do you have? You already started this in one of your previous answers. I know some of you have to leave at one. You indicated. Feel free to do so. Yes? So,
my hope is actually the basic tenet of recognition and rewards, that there is room for everyone's talent and that we should accommodate that as a university. Right, and I think, and that we, by doing that, we embrace diversity in the sense that there should be, people are not all the same. We should not be doing all the same. Some have, yeah, I think we're underutilizing the potential of our staff members at the university, but because we're asking to do things that they're not per se really good at, and we're denying the opportunity to focus on something that they're really good at because we have a system, or we don't have a system. We have a tenure track or an ECP, and I think that is, I think the very basics, I think, by that we have to make better use of the talents at the university by allowing more diversity in academic yes. profiles. That's my hope. And obviously, there will...
Sorry. And no, sorry. Geert, do you think, and if it might be a tough question here, but now that the framework is there anything lecturer in this room or support staff working with lecturers can now do better now the framework is there?
This will not happen overnight because all the things that we agree on and the things that we put on paper are nice, but the biggest change needs to be the culture. So how do we look at our colleagues in different roles? Mm. And that is that takes a while. Yeah. And we've put things on paper that will hopefully accelerate this change in culture, but this will not be sufficient. It must be really in the minds of people to look differently at diversity in academic profiles.
Yes.
And also not prioritizing tenure trackers over lecturers, for instance, when you talk about finance. I mean, every argument I hear about restraints on lectures are also applying to tenure trackers, if I want to. Mm. Right? So this is... Yeah.
And if Geert and others, if you go for this culture change, for which perhaps the academic career framework can be some sort of a catalyst or, again, a step, what does it require, do you think, from lecturers? So to make that change, there are many different things that perhaps need to happen. We've talked about seniors, shareholders, groups, policy, funding, many different aspects. But where's the opportunity for lecturers to help build that movement?
Sure. I think one thing I really appreciate hearing Geert talk about the diversity in academic profiles, because I really, that resonates a lot with me, that response. And I think what the ACF does is it really sets a very clear standard and sort of very clear rules for the institution of how we get to that point. And so I think in terms of the implementation of this framework, there's a couple of different aspects. Firstly, like with many things, is education or people actually knowing about it and knowing the different parts of this framework and what they should be doing. So that I think we've got a lot of education work with many people on our campus, shareholders, lecturers. Everyone needs to know how they should be operating. In terms to implement it as well, one thing the ICF does, it gives accountability. So it gives, for example, lecturers sort of a leverage point that if something's perhaps not going well or not going in the way they feel it should, it gives them something solid that they can turn back to and point people to and say, hey, but this is what the framework says. Why aren't we doing it this way? Mm. And then I think the third thing is, and this is often tricky for everyone, but it's tricky for lecturers because they're oftentimes in a vulnerable position if they don't have a permanent contract or so on, is knowing where to go when things aren't going well and the rules aren't being followed is to, what do you do? How do you to bring that accountability around on the part of your colleagues or the institution, broadly speaking? So where do we go? So I think these are sort of three components. Yeah. What's the framework? It brings the accountability, and then we know what to do when the rules aren't being followed.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for that, Melina. And do I understand correctly that perhaps also for lecturers, there's an educational task here in terms of educating the community on how this track works and this opportunity?
Yeah, we definitely need to team up as lecturers, and that's already happening from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. But definitely see each other and talk to each other, because then we are a team and we can step forward.
Yeah, so there's also togetherness, like you need each other.
I think that already happened a long time ago with tenure track. But now it's also finally happening with the teachers.
So it's both educating, addressing, holding accountable, teaming up, those kind of things. Are there also specific other roles in these universities that you hope will show more certain kind of behavior or steps? We've heard seniors, shareholders, and I've heard them, I would say, message, correct me if I'm wrong, to be open to this track, to create space. Also, when there's not a traditional, let's say, funding part behind it, but recognize it in terms of innovation, for instance, are there other stakeholders, people in this university that you feel like they should also step up? We as lecturers should do this, 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 this. There's a policy, a framework. Who else should move right now on this topic? Yeah? I'll come to you.
Yeah, I think especially for people who are focusing really on university governance and education policy, once they become more senior, they are less seen at the chair group and more seen at the university level, and yet their evaluations still happen at the chair group level. So I think especially for specific lecturers that end up, when they're senior lecturers, they're focusing more on university governance, that they also get feedback from the dean of education or from education policymakers as well, because that part is lacking still.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Do we have questions, requests concerning support staff? Because you're mentioning a little bit of it, but there are quite a bit of people also from learning development support staff. What is their role in this? What do you think? Or put it provocatively, they're done. There's a framework now. There's policy. I hope that's not the answer, by the way. What do you think? Anyone? Yes.
Put it to work. Put the policy to work, because my HRM department and my professor has no clue whatsoever what the ACF is yet.
Hmm.
So they need to be educated.
Thank you. And you're doing that this afternoon. Thanks. Anything? Is there, let's say, an elephant in the room? By that I mean we have explored different aspects of ACF for lecturers, the development of lecturers, who should become active. Yip told a bit about the program we do. What's an elephant in the room? Something that needs to be mentioned, either from you, dear panelists, anything that's on your mind concerning lecturer development that you think we cannot conclude this without mentioning this? They are thinking. Yes, I'll come to you. It will require acrobatics, but why not? Yeah.
My question is to us, we are here at Vuhr, and we talked about university, but we also have the R. Do you see any link to the research institutes?
You mean the research institutes, what they do in terms of lecturer tracks, or?
They don't have lecturer tracks, but there might be something to help, to collaborate, to exchange.
Thanks. Do you already have an idea yourself how that might look like?
Not yet, but I am from the research side. I'm not in a chair group, so now I'm a bit thinking. So
you're trying to translate it to that context, right? In
a way, so the only thing I saw so far is, so when there is so much pressure on people, why are you not coming to the research to ask people then also to help in teaching? So that could be one, but this is a bit different than the education pathway. So.
Hey, thank you. Do you have an answer to this, or is this a question that requires further thinking? Geert?
So the ACF has three trajectories. One is lecture, one is profession, the other is research career path. And there's quite a bit of thinking about how the research career path could overlap with Wageningen research, because that there you have the most similarity in career opportunities. I'm not sure if there will be an overlap between the lecture career path and Wageningen research, because that seems to be far apart, I think. But
yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe also good to add, we also take, I think, your point in the program, because we will also organize one session where we actually combine research trackers with lecturers, so to also promote their exchange and to also see shared maybe challenges and to not see it only as kind of separate groups, but also to really see the common issues and where they could kind of benefit from one another and learning from one another.
Thanks. I think final comment from Geert.
So it's not a big elephant, but if you want to have influence as a group, organize yourself. That's the way how it goes in Wageningen. So the tenure trackers have organized themselves in the Wageningen Young Academy. They're highly influential. There's no policy paper that doesn't pass Wageningen Young Academy. If you're able to organize yourself as a Wageningen Young Lecturer, whatever you name it, you become more influential. So I think there's now like 300 lecturers. It's a substantial part of the professionals in Wageningen. Oh. So yeah, that would be, if you want to have influence, that's the way. Organize yourself, make noise, disagree, protest, be happy, use the opportunity, point at threats, I don't know, but organize yourself. I think that's the number one.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. With that, if you agree, panelists, we bring it to a close. May I have a warm applause for Tjerk, Melina, Geert, and Jip. And thanks to all of you. Please know, those who only listened, you're just as appreciated as those who participated. Very welcome to have you. You've, I think, also heard quite a couple of options for action, collective action, individual things you might want to think about or strike a conversation with a chairholder, for instance. Please feel very free to take one of the cards, not the thank you cards, don't steal them, but the brochure kind of cards with the QR code. You can see the upcoming lecture development program that indeed links lecturers together to team up, in your words, and also to very specifically develop yourselves in ways that help you forward in your career as a lecturer. Again, thanks a lot. I don't know if Katalina wants to add something. Yes. Then a very warm applause for Katalina.
How the tables have turned. Thank you. And thank you as well. I think everything we've heard today only underlines the reason why we're needing this program. So thank you very much for making that very clear, again, from our perspective from the university, but also from Down Set Up. So that's very, I feel motivated, and I'm not even a lecturer. So for everyone here that is, please find the registration form, and otherwise just tell all your lecturer colleagues to participate in this program, because of making a group together, that can also be through the learning part. So thank you very much. So this was our second. We do this every month. If you have more questions about the academic career framework in general, tomorrow morning at 9:30 here is actually a meetup about the ACF. So if you have, I heard some questions that were actually about the program in the broad sense, and not only about the development program. You can come here tomorrow morning to ask those questions again. Second. On the 10th of April, we're doing our next session. It's about career development, not just for lecturers, but for everyone. So feel free to come there and talk about it with your colleague to visit us there. And for now, I'm just going to like an eind aan breien in perfect English. So I'd like to thank you. Please enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you in a month.
This has been The Human Side of Research, brought to you by Downside Up. We are curious if and how this conversation has sparked your interest. Send us your feedback and thoughts regarding this episode to podcast@downsideup.nl. Names of panel members, as well as more information about the ACF, you can find in the show notes. We would love to hear from you if you would like to speak on the podcast or if you have suggestions for future topics or guests. If you need help improving the work culture, check out our website for ways we can help. Until next time.